Get ready for the greatest roast of all time. The Roast of Tom Brady. A Netflix live event happening May 5th. Hosted by Kevin Hart. The seven-time world champion gets his cleats held to the fire by famous friends and frenemies on an unforgettable night where everything is fair game. Tune in on May 5th at 5 p.m. Pacific time for The Roast of Tom Brady. Live only on Netflix.
You ready?
Showtime.
On May 3rd, summer starts with the Fall Guy.
What are you doing later?
Let's drink a spicy margarita.
Make some bad decisions.
Yes!
Audiences are falling in love with the most entertaining film of the year.
Fall Guy.
Fall Guy.
Fall Guy. That's what the poster said.
See Ryan Gosling and Emily Blunt in the movie critics say exists to make you happy.
Trying to make it out?
Nope.
Because I don't either. It's not what I'm into right now.
What are you into?
Talking.
Yeah. Okay.
The Fall Guy. Only in theaters May 3rd. Rated PG-13.
3, 2, 1.
But I've worked out. I love to listen to your podcast.
Whenever you say something, other people react to it.
Taking my breath away.
Welcome in, everybody. Thursday night edition of the Air Torres Sports Podcast. I'm your host, Air Torres. Hope everybody's doing well. Hope everybody is having a great day. And listen, I always try to be transparent with you guys and girls in the audience. And let me say this. As of probably about 2 p.m. Eastern time today, the plan was not to go live. I was telling producer Matt, we'll maybe do a clip or two. Not much going on. Do we need to go live? We've done 4 shows this week, if you include the Hassan Diarra interview. Maybe we take a break here on Thursday night. Then it was like bombshell after bombshell after bombshell after bombshell on Thursday evening as Reed Shepard declares for the NBA draft. As Pat Kelsey, I think, is slowly starting to make some moves at Louisville that we need to talk about. I do want to give an update on Liam McNeely, 5-star McDonald's All-American. What is he doing? What is going on? All that good stuff. And then we got to at least in passing mention Jerry Jones allegedly dropping all sorts of bags on the Arkansas Razorbacks basketball team, of course, with its new head coach, John Calipari. So everybody come on in. We got a loaded show. Couple quick announcements. One, as always, make sure that you're subscribed, Apple, Spotify, etc. Also YouTube. We're going live 3, 4, 5 times per week. So make sure you're locked in there. Also, very quickly, want to put this out there. Just want to put this out into the ecosystem. This show is doing record-setting numbers this month in April. Really with no games being played, okay? And so why I bring it up, we are looking for sponsors, for advertisers, for a presenting sponsor. And the one thing I'll say is this, is the numbers are through the roof. We're doing incredible work. Cannot do it without you and your support. But at the same time, if you want your product, I don't care if it's alcohol, if it's cars, if it's food, if it's fast food, if it's fine dining, whatever, as long as it's legal, go ahead and hit me up, Aaron Torres Podcast Questions at gmail.com. Aaron Torres Podcast Questions at gmail.com. We're happy to take on any advertisers. You will work directly with me. As I said, this show is growing exponentially. I'll just put it out there. I think we're set to hit about 1 million views and downloads between the podcast and the YouTube channel this month. I would venture to guess it's as big as any independent college sports podcast in America outside of the ESPNs, the CBSs, the On3s, etc. You get to work directly with Torres, so at least keep that in mind. Aaron Torres Podcast Questions. If you're local, if you're national, feel free to hit me up, and let's see if you can become part of the Aaron Torres Pod Show. With that said, it turned into a wild Thursday in the world of college sports, and there is no more time to waste. So let's go ahead and get to the topic of the day. And the topic of the day, listen, I'll say this. I do think that as of, like I said, about 4 p.m. Eastern or so, I was not sure that there was a topic of the day. I was not sure that there was anything that warranted going live here on a Thursday night, and maybe we just save everything for Monday's show. Then we got a very, you know, interesting story that I think is definitely worth talking about because it has a lot of tentacles and a lot of layers to it. And that was the decision of Kentucky star Reed Sheppard to declare for the 2024 NBA draft. Want to talk about Reed, want to talk about the decision, but really what I want to talk about is what it means for Mark Pope's rebuild at Kentucky. So let's go ahead and dive in. First off, I think with Reed Sheppard declaring, a lot of things can be true. Because I am the person that I think more than anybody has advocated that Reed Sheppard should at least consider coming back to college. And I think two things can be true. I think my argument made a lot of sense. I think it's something the Sheppard family probably seriously considered. But I also understand why the decision was made for Reed Sheppard to go pro, a decision that was announced Thursday afternoon. Why I always thought it made sense. I truly always felt like the Reed Sheppard decision was a nuanced decision that's not something that can be talked about on Twitter and broken down into 180 characters. I always felt, like I said, like two things could be true. Is that one, kind of made sense for him to come back, but also probably not realistic. Now, why did I always feel, maybe more than anyone else in the media, that it made sense for him to come back? As I've said a million times, and we won't spend too much time on this because we have talked about it plenty, but I always felt like with Reed Sheppard, it made sense because in the NIL era, and true NIL, I'm not talking about that fake NIL, I'm talking about name, image, likeness, Reed Sheppard, maybe more than any college athlete in the small NIL era, was set to make a crap ton of money by returning to college. Because obviously, look, first of all, there is the collective money. We know that Mark Pope in day one was given $4 million basically in salary to use on his basketball roster for next year. But two, because Reed Sheppard is a Kentucky kid, a Kentucky star, a Kentucky high school legend, a legend after 1 year in college basketball, he was going to have NIL opportunities locally that were totally unique to him and really totally unique pretty much anywhere in college basketball. Every major local outlet wanted a piece of him. I'm sure he would have gotten national endorsements as well. Now, when you compare 1 year of NIL to a four-year guaranteed NBA contract, I understand the number isn't the same. But I thought when you factored in the money he could make in college with the idea of him being the face of the Kentucky rebirth and revolution under Mark Pope, I thought it was at least appealing. But at the same time, what I would also say is this, and I said this on last night's show. I said that basically as time went on, once you removed yourself from the Mark Pope press conference on Sunday, the further we got away from that, the less likely it felt like I felt like he was coming back. I felt like, look, there's a lot of money to be made. He's going to make more money in endorsements as the star of Kentucky basketball than he would as the ninth pick of the Houston Rockets next year or the 11th pick of the Portland Trail Blazers. But as we got further away from that Mark Pope press conference, I really started to wonder, okay, has the decision been made? Because you think about it, right? Season ends. First reaction is we can't end like that. We have to come back and do it again. Then John Calipari leaves, and you'll want to see who the next head coach is. Then the next head coach happens to be a Kentucky legend who also happened to be your father's former roommate on a national championship team. And it felt like there was a moment there Sunday for Reed to burst out of the wall like the Kool-Aid man and say, I'm coming back. We didn't get that on Sunday. I was kind of sitting there watching the Mark Pope press conference, wondering if it was coming. He didn't come back. It didn't happen on Sunday. Monday's quiet. Tuesday's quiet. Clearly, Mark Pope is prioritizing putting a staff together, working the portal, all that. And the further away you got, the more it felt like it was probably a little bit unlikely that he was going to return. And so now he's out. We'll take your comments. By the way, always feel free to drop comments in the YouTube comment section. We'll get to them momentarily. But at the same time, Reed Sheppard is officially gone. I think there's two ways to look for it. The Kentucky part of things, the legacy part of things, but then also what it means for Mark Pope's rebuild. from the Kentucky part of things, listen, we got a lot of Kentucky fans in the chat watching right now. You guys have better perspective than I do on what Reed Shepherd's legacy is at the University of Kentucky. But he's obviously a guy that was a high school legend. I think it's important to note he's a guy that it's worth noting could have gone to one of these big prep schools anywhere in America, the Montverdes, the this, the that, the whatever. You know what the prep schools are. And he could have gone and done one of those. He could have gone to Montverde, to IMG, to whatever. He stayed at North Laurel High School in Kentucky, led his team all the way through his senior year, his high school buddies, then goes to Kentucky and just blows away any expectations. Okay, listen, we could sit here in hindsight and pretend, oh, you know, we all knew this was coming. We knew how good. Nobody saw this coming with Reed Shepherd. I don't have the 24/7 sports recruiting rankings in front of me, but I don't know anybody that was like, that's a one and done dude. That's going to be probably a top 10, maybe a top 5 pick come June. Nobody saw that coming. Nobody had that on their radar. And what he did in 1 year at Kentucky was incredible at a time when there was a lot. Listen, now that the Calipari's era is over, that's one thing. But throughout going into the season, there was a lot of negativity. And I think he was kind of the face of a lot of positive things during this season. A lot of great moments. The Mississippi State buzzer beater. You go through and you look at not only the Mississippi State buzzer beater, that he went basically toe for toe with Dalton Connect at Thompson Bowling Arena final day of the season as Kentucky beats Tennessee. So there were so many great memories. It sucks that it ended like the way that it did against Oakland in the NCAA tournament. But in 1 year, freshman All-American, national freshman of the year. There's too many All-American teams to follow, but I know he made some All-American teams. Just a great ambassador, great kid for Kentucky. Now, I do think the other interesting element of this is what it means for Mark Pope's rebuild. Now, to be clear, again, the further we got into this week, the less likely I really kind of thought it was that Mark Pope was going to be able to retain him. But at the same time, now what has become abundantly clear, oh, we're starting over from scratch when Mark Pope with this Mark Pope era, okay? And I thought it would have been cool for Reed Shepherd. I don't blame him. I'm not saying to turn down millions. I'm not saying that's what I would have advised him to do if I was his father or advisor. But it is interesting. I always thought, how cool would it be? You know, you go back to that pre-Calipari era, the glory days of the 90s, a lot of Kentucky kids on that roster to have a Kentucky kid leading the new era under Mark Pope, former Kentucky player, thought that would have been cool. Also think if Reed Shepherd had come back, we were probably talking about him as the preseason national player of the year next season. You average 14 and a half, whatever it was, 15 a game, 4 boards, 5 assists, as essentially a sixth man under John Calipari, put him in that Mark Pope system, and I think he's probably the preseason national player of the year. But he decides to move on, and now for Mark Pope, it's going to be a completely clean slate. I think there's, at this point, a very realistic possibility that we now have zero players from the John Calipari era retained by Mark Pope. We've seen Dillingham, Reed Shepherd, and Justin Edwards declare. We've seen Aaron Bradshaw officially transfer. DJ Wagner is in the portal. Adu Thiero is in the portal. Agana Anyenso goes pro. Trey Mitchell, Antonio Reeves run out of eligibility. So bluntly, you know, we'll see what happens, but it feels to be, I mean, Jordan Burks, I guess, is still there, but we'll see if he stays. We'll see if Adu Thiero ends up coming back. We'll see if DJ Wagner ends up coming back. But realistically, by the way, Joey Hart committed to Ball State today. I kind of forgot he was on the team. No disrespect. It's just the truth. I just bring it up to say, I think we're getting a completely clean slate with the Mark Pope era. I think it would have been great for Mark Pope to be able to retain Reed Shepherd. I think if you retain Reed Shepherd, maybe some of the other guys decide to come back with him. But now that he's gone, it is a fresh start for Mark Pope, and we know that Mark Pope is getting to work. We're going to talk about Liam McNeely in just a minute, the 5-star McDonald's All-American. But it sounds as though Kentucky has been in contact with him. I saw Mark Pope is on the road recruiting. My assumption is Liam McNeely is one of the guys that he's going to visit. We know about some of the transfers that Kentucky has connected with. So for Mark Pope, it's officially time to get to work. Because at the end of the day, Reed Shepherd is going. I'm not surprised, but this is going to be a true rebuild. Now, the great thing is, this is the portal NIL era. Pretty much anything can happen. You can retain and flip a roster pretty much at will. But I just bring it up to very simply say that this is going to be a completely, completely fresh start for the University of Kentucky. And should mention, as you see on the ticker, make sure to be following Torres on UK for all your Kentucky needs, because boy, oh boy, oh boy, y'all got what? You got two players on the roster. If you include Travis Perry, the freshman, Colin Chandler, the kid who just committed, it means you got about 9, 10, 11 spots to fill. There's a lot of great places that cover Kentucky basketball. Make sure you're following Torres on UK. Producer Matt, I'll tell you what. Go ahead. We're going to pull an audible here. Pull up the BetUS video. BetUS was a great partner of ours. We need to take a quick commercial break. We'll come back. I want to talk about some other elements of the day. I mentioned Liam McNeely, five-star McDonald's All-American. What is his deal? Also, Pat Kelsey, the Louisville coach, making big-time moves and kind of sticking his nose up at Mark Pope and Kentucky. Take a quick break. We'll be right back.
When you need mealtime inspiration, it's worth shopping Kroger, where you'll find over 30,000 mouthwatering choices that excite your inner foodie. And no matter what tasty choice you make, you'll enjoy our everyday low prices, plus extra ways to save, like digital coupons worth over $600 each week. You can also save up to $1 off per gallon at the pump with fuel points. More savings and more inspiring flavors make shopping Kroger worth it every time. Kroger, fresh for everyone. Fuel restrictions apply.
It's only a kick, a jump, a block, it's only a serve, it's only a tackle, a run, it's only for the fans. After all, it's only pressure. You got this. Adidas.
America's favorite sportsbook and casino. Live betting and racebook. We're celebrating 30 years with a historic offer. A 125% sign-up bonus on your first three deposits. Plus, 10% gambler's insurance. Get started today. BetUS, where the game begins.
All right, Emily. I am back. Good to be back. Good to be back. I do want to go ahead and get to some other news and notes from across, a busy Thursday in college hoops. If you missed the start of the show, I'll be honest, I really wasn't really planning on doing a full show tonight. And then Thursday just went bananas. Okay. And so where I want to go next, I got to talk about a guy that I really, frankly, didn't really talk about very much when he was hired, because on top of Mark Pope at Kentucky, there is another first year head coach in the state of Kentucky. And bluntly, I got to be real is that, we just didn't have a chance to talk much about, Pat Kelsey when he was hired. That's not a knock on Pat Kelsey, but the bottom line was he was hired right in the middle of the NCAA tournament. And so we didn't have a chance to talk about him. But you talk about a guy that in a few short weeks has made some major moves. And I thought he quietly made the biggest one on Thursday afternoon. Now, again, doesn't mean, by the way, that Mark Pope and Kentucky aren't going to make moves. John Calipari and Arkansas aren't going to make moves. But what I want to do is talk about what Pat Kelsey at Louisville has done so far, because producer Matt, why don't you pop the tweet up that I put up on Thursday afternoon? To quote Shaq, to quote that great meme, Pat Kelsey, I owe you an apology. I was not familiar with your game. Thank you, producer Matt. I appreciate that. Again, drop your questions. We'll get to them in a minute. So with Pat Kelsey, first of all, Louisville has picked up two pretty good commitments coming into Thursday, okay? Terrence Edwards Jr. from James Madison, I was a big fan of. Big guard, distributor, played at James Madison, led them to 31 regular season wins. I think 32 wins if you include the first round upset of Wisconsin in the NCAA tournament. Well, he committed to Louisville last week. I would argue the best commitment at Louisville of the portal era. Earlier this week, Javon Hadley, 6'6", 6'7", wing, who played the last couple years at Colorado, he too committed to the University of Louisville. Well, I bring it up because on Thursday afternoon,
While the stats won't indicate it, I thought that Louisville actually picked up its biggest commitment so far. It's a kid that we have talked about a little bit on this show. His name is Ali Khalifa, a 7-foot center originally from Egypt who played the last season at BYU. And so Mark Pope ends up leaving BYU for Kentucky. Ali Khalifa enters the portal, and the assumption is he's following Mark Pope to Kentucky. Well, on Thursday, Ali Khalifa commits to Louisville, a guy that I don't care what you say, Kentucky fans, in your heart of hearts, you wanted him. Now, to be clear, Ali Khalifa does need surgery, will likely redshirt this season, but it doesn't change the fact that Pat Kelsey just went head-to-head with Mark Pope for a guy that he wanted. And I think this is a major move on top of the moves that he has made already and the moves that are kind of quietly going down behind the scenes. So first off, with Ali Khalifa, you look at the stat sheet, it doesn't blow you away. Averaged 6 points, 4 boards, and 4 assists in 19 minutes of play this past season at BYU. Now, the one stat that does stand out, 4 assists in 19 minutes of play, is four assists in 19 minutes of play is really good for anybody. It's really good. It's really good for a center and a backup center at that. And Ali Khalifa, I would argue, is one of the best passers in college basketball regardless. All you got to do is go on Twitter, put in his name. He is one of the best passers in college basketball. But to me, why this is a bigger commitment, and Kentucky fans are going to argue with me, I'm sure there's already comments in the chat fighting this, this was a guy that Kentucky wanted. I listen to all the Kentucky radio shows. I listen to all the big Kentucky shows. This is a guy that has been a constant topic of conversation in the Kentucky community. I'm not saying he would have made or broken your program. What I am saying, though, is knows the Mark Pope system, comfortable in the Mark Pope system. A backup center in the SEC, I think, has a lot of value. Guy that can play 28 minutes if you need to, can play 18 minutes if you need him to. And so for Pat Kelsey to go head-to-head with the former BYU head coach, now the Kentucky head coach, for a guy that Kentucky wanted, that is darn impressive. But what's maybe even more impressive to me isn't even what happened on Thursday afternoon at Louisville publicly. Because privately, Louisville also had somebody else on campus that is of note, a guy that I've talked about quite a bit. His name is Jaden Quaintance. Jaden Quaintance, 6'11", number one center in the high school class of 2024. He was a player who was committed to John Calipari at Kentucky. When John Calipari leaves Kentucky, he asks for to reopen his recruitment and to get out of his letter of intent. And so the thought was, because I've talked about it, I know that I was guilty of it, this kid's probably just going to follow John Calipari to Arkansas. And he may still. But at the same time, Pat Kelsey has this kid on campus. And I'll be blunt. I don't think that any of these kids, I don't think kids at this point in the process are taking visits with no intention of at least considering that school. It's freaking April. You got to enroll Memorial Day, June 1 at these schools. You don't got 6 months, 8 months, a year to goof off. And so the fact that Pat Kelsey got Jaden Quaintance on campus, the fact that he appears to be a bigger threat for a former five-star committed to Kentucky, he appears to be a bigger threat to John Calipari in Arkansas than Kentucky does, that says a lot to me. Also worth noting, by the way, the reports are five-star McDonald's All-American Boogie Fland. Louisville has been as aggressive as anybody in trying to get him to flip. He was at Kentucky, asked out of his letter of intent, and also to get him to not go to Arkansas. So look at what Pat Kelsey has done. Kentucky fans, you can argue with me on this, but he got a guy that you wanted today, Ali Khalifa. Two former five-stars that were committed to Kentucky. And if Mark Pope doesn't want those guys, I don't blame them. I don't blame him. He's got to do things his way. He doesn't have to do things the Calipari way, the Pat Kelsey way, the Dan Hurley way, the Scott Drew way, whatever. But at the same time, Louisville being a player for 2 5 stars, to me, it says something very important. Pat Kelsey is treating Louisville the way that Louisville deserves to be treated. What do I mean by that? It is that you are at Louisville, okay? Listen, Louisville is a top 10 job in college basketball, bar none. I don't have a list in front of me. I'd have Kentucky number one, probably Carolina number two. Kansas is there. UConn is there. Arizona is there. But Louisville's in the conversation as well. And I think for too long, Louisville has felt sorry for itself. Louisville has felt like it isn't on par with all of those schools and that they can't compete. Well, guess what? City school, NBA arena, rabid fan base, 18,000 people in the building when you're good. You should be going after the biggest and best, and you're not going to get any, you're not going to get all of them, but you can't be afraid. And it felt like Kenny Payne just kind of waved the white flag in a previous regime. And so I give Pat Kelsey so much credit because he's treating Louisville the way that Louisville should be treated. He is treating Louisville in a manner in which basically he's saying, this is one of the 10 best jobs in college basketball. I'm going to treat it as such. I'm going after the biggest fish in college basketball, in high school basketball, in recruiting. We're not afraid. We're not afraid of Calipari. We're not afraid of Kentucky. We're not afraid of Arkansas. We're not afraid of NIL. We're not afraid of this. We're not afraid of that. That's how a Louisville head coach should be acting. That's how a Kentucky head coach should be acting. That's how a UConn head coach should be acting. And so I give him so much credit because to me, it's not just about Ali Khalifa. Yes, you beat Mark Pope head-to-head for a guy that he had. Yes, you have not gotten a commitment from Jaden Quaintance, from Boogie Flan. But I think it's worth noting that you are going after the biggest fish in college basketball, and I give you a ton of credit. Really quickly, I think we'll save questions for the end. I want to get to a few other odds and ends before we get to your questions. 25 minutes in, we have a couple other topics that I want to get to. First of all, there was one piece of portal news outside of Ali Khalifa that I think is at least worth addressing, because the number one player on my portal big board was a kid by the name of AJ Storr. Averaged 17 points per game, almost 18 points per game this year at Wisconsin. And AJ Storr entered the portal. And I'll be blunt, we actually talked about him a little bit on whatever day it was Wednesday's show. Kentucky fan Casey asked me, who is your dream recruiting class if you're the Kentucky head coach? Even though I did not think Mark Pope would pursue him, I did have AJ Storr in there because, in my opinion, he is the best player in the portal. Well, I bring it up because since he entered the portal, he did declare for the draft, but all indications were that Kansas was going to be the team. Interesting to note a couple things. One, there was a report, and it's just a report. I'm not saying it's true, but that Kansas offered him some sort of crazy amount of money, and he's like, nah, I'm good. And he basically was like, I'm worth more. And so I don't know what Bill Self had to do to lock this down. Now, the other report is that he has a girlfriend, or I think it's a girlfriend. I don't want to, you know, get into his personal life, but the report was that there's a girlfriend that enrolled at Kansas. And once she ended up at Kansas, it was like, okay, it's a wrap. He's going to Kansas. But either way, on Thursday afternoon, AJ Storr, the number one player in the transfer portal, committed to Kansas. Let me just say this. Bill Self, my dog, Bill Self is a fearless MF-er. And excuse my language. I guess I didn't swear there. But he is a fearless MF-er. And what this goes back to me, and we've talked about it this offseason, Bill Self said the day that they lost in the NCAA tournament to Gonzaga, what did he say? We all remember the quote. He said, honestly, this is a little bit disappointing, but we've already been preparing for next season for a month now. I don't think Bill Self was lying, because right now, if we were handing out a portal king for 2024, right now, Bill Self is, you know, it's like Secretariat in that one race. What was it, the Belmont Stakes, where Bill Self is like 30 laps ahead. I guess that's probably what happens when you get a 2 month head start on everybody else. But first off, a couple things. One, when he said that, I thought it really spoke to where Kansas was this year. And we, you know what's funny? If you are a listener of this show, if you have listened regularly to this show, we at a certain point just kind of stopped talking about Kansas, because I kept saying they would win one game, two games, and everybody in the media would be, oh, trust Bill Self, trust Kansas. And then they lose a weird one. And at some point, I just kept saying, like, it's over. They're not figuring it out. This isn't the year for Kansas. Now, in Bill Self's defense, a couple things worked against him. McCullough could never stay healthy. I think Bill Self was even frustrated with that by the end of the year. Obviously, there was a McDonald's All-American named Arterio Morris that got into legal trouble and was kicked out of the out of school. Now, he has since been cleared, I believe, or the charges were dropped, I believe. But, I mean, you're talking about a star player who can't stay healthy. You're talking about a McDonald's All-American that was going to be your sixth man. And so I just bring it up because Bill Self was clearly shorthanded this past year, and he's clearly like, I ain't dealing with that ever again. And so what does he do? Week after the portal opens, Riley Kugel, the guard from Florida, was their sixth man. 9.5 points per game, but listen, he's got NBA size, NBA upside, NBA athleticism. He commits to Kansas. I think that's a kid that in the right system can thrive. Now, he's got to do it, but to me, he is an elite, elite, elite talent that has yet to put together. The guy that I love, and we talked about him a few weeks ago, Zeke Mayo. That was the kid that was at South Dakota State. He's from Lawrence, Kansas originally, and committed to he was committed to South Dakota State, was the player of the year in the Summit League at South Dakota State. Decides to enter the portal. I remember talking about him during the NCAA tournament. I said, if this kid enters the portal, he is going to be as coveted as anybody. Well, he averaged 19 points, 5 rebounds, 3.5 assists, 39%. He can play on the ball. He can play off the ball. He is really good. He commits to Kansas. AJ Storr, though, is the cream of the crop. As I said, 6'6" wing, started his career 2 years ago at St. John's. That last year pre-Pitino. Really good as a freshman at St. John's. I remember when Pitino took over. I had buddies that are St. John's fans like Torres. Can we keep him? Can we retain him? Is Pitino going to keep him? I said, I don't know, but whoever gets him is going to be really, really lucky. Well, he goes to Wisconsin, and I'll be honest, like he frankly, let's call a spade, he really did some things at Wisconsin. He was the kind of player, Wisconsin really hasn't had that kind of player in forever. They've had really good teams, but he's got NBA size, NBA length, 6'7", super athletic, and as I said, 17 points per game this season in the Big Ten. Worth noting, played his best basketball late. 3 of his final 4 games at Wisconsin, 20-plus points. 30 points against Northwestern in the Big Ten tournament. 20 points against Purdue in that win in the Big Ten tournament. 24 points in the Big Ten championship game against Illinois. Really good player. Now he goes to Kansas, and I'll tell you what, probably next Sunday show, maybe next week, I'll do an updated way too early top 25, which we haven't even talked about. Right now, I got to have Kansas at number one. Last year, I thought they were a little bit overrated. I didn't like the personnel as much as everybody else did. You can go back and look. I had them 3, 4, 5. I didn't love the personnel. But you look at this year, and by the way, I think they're done with recruiting. Now, they may, you know how this goes. A kid may leave if need be. But at the same time, assuming that the roster is mostly done, they're going to be stacked. Again, now we'll see. Johnny Furphy declared the other day is leaving his options open. He might not have a spot to come back to. Because you look, DeJuan Harris, multi-year starter at point guard, can come back. He's expected back. You have Zeke Mayo, who I think can play on the ball, can play off the ball, maybe a six-man, two-guard type role. Riley Kugel, NBA talent. And AJ Storr is a stud to go along with Hunter Dickinson. And so listen, does it all click? We'll find out. Does it get figured out? We'll find out. Nothing is guaranteed, but Bill Self, listen, I think he felt like he was playing with a little bit of a deck stacked against him this year. Not enough depth, an injured star. He was like, I ain't messing around this time around. By the way, I think they actually might not be done. I've heard some reports that Rylan Griffin, the two guard from Alabama, has actually been leaning towards Kansas. We'll see if that ends up happening as well. But you talk about the number one player in the portal, in my opinion, AJ Storr commits to Kansas. And when I do my updated top 25, Kansas will be number one. One more topic before I get to Liam McNeely, the 5-star McDonald's All-American. There was a story that came out via Trilly Donovan. Trilly Donovan, for people who do not know, is a very well, you know, very highly regarded kind of secret college basketball Twitter account, okay? Nobody really knows who he is or what he does. Is he a coach? Is he an agent? Is he this? Is he that? But he's very plugged in. Got a very popular Discord where, you know, people pay for information. He does a great job. I'm not somebody that's critical. I'm not somebody that's jealous. Whoever he is, however he gets his information, I mean, he's days ahead of a lot of people. He was, by the way, days ahead on AJ Store. Somebody said, did you see AJ Store's going to Kansas? Trilly said it's happening. Torres, what's your reaction to it? So Trilly Donovan is a prominent Twitter account, but I bring it up because did you see the story that disseminated from his Discord on Thursday morning? And it involves the Arkansas Razorbacks and it involves Jerry Jones. Producer Matt, why don't you go ahead and pop up the tweet when you can? Because according to Trilly Donovan, this is from CBB report, CBK report, excuse me. This is crazy. Jerry Jones is reportedly offering double whatever Kentucky commits were set to make to come to Arkansas per Trilly Donovan. Jerry Jones is an Arkansas booster and reportedly helped them hire John Calipari last week. Now, let me start by saying this, okay? What I've been told that some of this stuff is a little bit overblown, okay? First of all, you know, this is no disrespect to that CBK report Twitter account. I don't really know how much Jerry Jones played a hand in getting John Calipari there. I really think it was a John Tyson relationship. Remember, if you believe Hunter Yurecek, the AD's version of events, Hunter Yurecek claims that basically he was in Phoenix, Calipari was in Phoenix. Hey, can you give us some advice on our coaching situation? I don't know if that's 100% true. I don't know if Calipari was more interested. I will say this. I saw somebody very close to Calipari at the Final Four on Thursday night. He did not look like a person that was set to leave or set to watch Calipari leave Lexington for Fayetteville. Could it happen? Possibly. Did he know? I don't think so. I think it all came together quick, but I think that was more of a John Tyson relationship. Now, in terms of the Jerry Jones thing, it's a great story. I've been told it's a little bit overblown. I think Jerry Jones essentially has basically said, if you need money, I'm here to give it. I think that he's probably offered to donate a little bit of money, and a little bit to him is a life savings to me and you. Like I basically heard, hey, you want to check for $1 million? Would that help? Let me know what you need, and I'm happy to help. I don't think it is, hey, I know that, you know, Boogie Fland, his asking price is $500,000. Let me give you $500,000 just to sweeten the pot. Like, I don't think Jerry Jones is reading 24/7 sports message boards trying to figure out, okay, who's Arkansas recruiting. At the same time, though, there are a couple interesting elements to this. One, it still amazes me how much college basketball and college sports have changed literally in the last 2 years. 2 years ago, it was like boosters, NIL, money. Oh my God, this kid got, you know, $800 in a McDonald's bag. Remember when Jeremy Pruitt, the McDonald's bags, that was a big deal. Now it's like, oh, Jerry Jones is chipping in seven figures to help out John Calipari recruit players. Two, listen, I will say this. It goes back to what we have said so many times on Calipari, Arkansas, and Kentucky. This was just so obviously so good for everybody involved. Kentucky fans, I know you're probably a little bit nervous about the roster, but we know it's going to come together, and it does feel like, you know, Mark Pope has the support of everybody. It just feels like that was the juice that Kentucky needed. But at the same time, it is so clear that this has pumped so much excitement into the Arkansas basketball community. Listen, I keep saying it. Eric Musselman awoke the sleeping giant. He deserves so much credit in this. But at the same time, man, the enthusiasm that Calipari, you know, Musselman kind of built the platform, and Calipari now, it's like, can you get us to that final step? But there is so much excitement. And what's cool to see at both places, everybody's rowing in the same direction. So do I believe that Jerry Jones is writing blank checks to recruits? I don't. But do I believe that Jerry Jones is seeing the momentum of excitement that John Calipari has created? Yeah, I do believe that. I do believe that everybody in Arkansas is rowing in the same direction, that you have multiple billion-dollar families that are all rowing in the same direction. By the way, while we're on the subject of Arkansas, we have late-breaking news, people. We just talked about the new Louisville head coach, Pat Kelsey, taking over for the old Louisville head coach. Well, guess what? We just found out where the old Louisville head coach, Kenny Payne, is going. That is because Kenny Payne, the old Louisville head coach, has just been announced as an assistant coach at Arkansas. So everybody, let's take a deep breath. Kenny Payne, as we're recording here on a Thursday night. Listen, producer Matt, just let me say this. Now I'm just talking to you and not the audience. I am so glad that we decided to go live tonight. If we were sitting on the sidelines on a night like tonight, I would have made you go live anyway. But so let's break it down. There is late breaking news. Clip this off right now, producer Matt, because we are going to be talking about this. But the former Louisville head coach, Kenny Payne, has officially been announced as an Arkansas basketball assistant. I don't have any notes planned, but let's just react to this in real time, okay? First of all, let me say this. I had been told that this was coming. If you listened to Wednesday night's show, we were talking about the coaching staffs at both Arkansas and Kentucky. And what I said was there's all these names floating around at Kentucky, including Kenny Payne. And I was told that Kenny Payne was either going to go to Arkansas to follow John Calipari, or he was going to go back to the NBA where he would probably stay for the remainder of his career. So for an Arkansas fan joining us, let's go ahead and break down who Kenny Payne is, because this is a really big piece of news, okay? For people who are not familiar, Kenny Payne, obviously most notably, was most recently the Louisville head coach, okay? And it did not go well at Louisville. You don't need me to tell you, and we've talked about it enough, Kenny Payne was arguably, I don't even think it's arguable, he was one of the worst coaches, and that was one of the worst coaching regimes in the history of college basketball. 2 years, 12-52 overall, 5-35 in the ACC. But at the same time, not everybody is everything. And just because you aren't good at one element of a job doesn't mean you can't be good at others. Let me give you an example. I hired producer Matt this fall. It is because I suck at video editing. I suck at social media. I suck at graphic design. If I got hired tomorrow by anybody to be the graphic design, video guy, editing guy, whatever, I'd get fired faster than Kenny Payne did, okay? I'd be out of a job before anybody could even do anything. And so producer Matt provides a great service to what I do, because my strengths, well, his strengths are not my strengths, okay? And so I bring it up because I don't really care what Kenny Payne did as an assistant or as a head coach at Louisville. And I don't think it really has any bearing on what he will be as an assistant coach at Arkansas. Because for Arkansas fans that are just trying to figure out all of the details on who this guy is, long before he was not a very good college basketball head coach, he was known for two things. He was one of the elite recruiters in all of college basketball. He was at Kentucky with John Calipari from 2010 to 2020. He was the associate head coach from 2014 to 2020. And there is a direct correlation. He left in 2020 to go to the NBA to work for the New York Knicks. Kentucky fans can argue it now, but there was a direct correlation between him leaving and the program falling off. It wasn't all credit to him, but what also can't be denied, John Calipari's last real NCAA tournament run was 2019. That was the last year of Kenny Payne. And so when Kenny Payne left, when he went to the NBA, Kentucky's talent fell off for a while. Now they brought in Orlando Antigua, who now it feels like maybe staying at Kentucky, but at the same time, they brought in Orlando Antigua, Chin Coleman. But Kenny Payne is one of the elite recruiters in all of college basketball. He's great with relationships. Players love him, okay? I've talked to a million former Kentucky players. I've talked to a million NBA. Well, I mean, I'm not like that. I'm not like, oh, I'm texting NBA players left and right. But I've talked to 3, 4, 5 guys that have been in the Kenny Payne orbit, and players love him. Players adore him. I think he's really kind of the good cop to the bad cop of John Calipari. I think he is a very valuable commodity with John Calipari, because John Calipari's tough. John Calipari yells. John Calipari screams. And then when you come to the bench, guess who's kind of put his arm around you and say, it's going to be okay. Ignore him. Listen to the message, not the messenger. Kenny Payne is a very valuable commodity. So what is he if you're an Arkansas fan? He's a great recruiter. Elite. Best of the best. He is a guy, by the way, that on top of being a great recruiter, he is a great people person. Players love him. The other thing he's really known for is he is known for as a big man developer, okay? And it's interesting. I have beef from a previous lifetime with Kyle Tucker of The Athletic. When I say I have beef, he just talks crap about me and then blocked me and I can't talk crap back. But that's neither here nor there. A lot of people have blocked me. Life goes on. If you have a subscription to The Athletic, Kyle Tucker about 3 years ago did a piece on Kenny Payne and the relationships that he has, but also the big men that he has developed. So you look at his role in Calipari's success at Kentucky. It was recruiting, but it was also helping develop Karl Anthony Towns, helping develop Willie Cauley-Stein, helping develop PJ Washington, helping develop Nerlens Noel. I can't remember every single guy that he helped develop. Anthony Davis, he was involved there as well. This guy is one of the elite assistant coaches that you can get. And I'll say this, Arkansas, you just got yourself one of the elite assistant coaches, one of the elite recruiters in college basketball. Your program just got a lot better today. By the way, people say, oh, well, what happened at Louisville? One, he wasn't a head coach. Clearly, that was not the role that he was going to be best served in. But two, also worth noting, Louisville is an Adidas school. You know, we got the Nike Adidas war. I think it's one of those things where Kenny Payne it didn't work. And I thought he was going to be great at Louisville. He wasn't, but it doesn't mean that he's not an elite assistant coach. It doesn't mean that he's not an elite big man developer. And it doesn't mean that he is not an elite recruiter who just added to the Arkansas mix. Producer Matt, I need a favor. Do me a favor. Run that BetUS one more time. I got to take a quick break. My computer is not plugged in. About to die. We're going to come back. We'll take your questions. I do want to wrap Liam McNeely, 5-star McDonald's All-American. One visit setup. Is anybody else in the equation? Quick break. Shout out to BetUS is getting a lot of free advertising right now. We'll be right back.
America's favorite sportsbook and casino. Live betting and racebook. We're celebrating 30 years with a historic offer. A 125% sign-up bonus on your first 3 deposits. Plus, 10% gambler's insurance. Get started today. BetUS, where the game begins.
All right, everybody. I'm back. Good to be back. Shout out BetUS. Also, my computer was dying and it was not plugged in. And we got about 3,000 people watching between Twitter and YouTube. And I don't want 3,000 people getting a black screen when we are in the middle of a great conversation. So we're going to get to your questions in a minute. Producer Matt, I know it's been a long show. Try to comb through them for 2 or 3 good ones before we get out of here. But I do want to wrap with one more college hoop story. What a day. We're going on an hour plus of content, baby, on a Thursday in April. Nobody else is giving you this like Torres is giving it to you, okay? So with that said, I do want to wrap one more topic that I think is worth discussing. And I've gotten a lot of questions on this. I've gotten questions on it from UConn fans, from Arkansas fans, from Kentucky fans. What is going on with Liam McNeely, the five-star McDonald's All-American. So let's go ahead and dive in. Liam McNeely, five-star McDonald's All-American. Very interesting story. Was committed to Indiana to start the process, okay? Committed to Indiana last summer, seemed like an Indiana commit. Then it went sideways at Indiana. He ends up decommitting sometime late February, early March, something like that. McDonald's All-American, plays at Montverde. It's worth noting, by the way, for people who don't know, 6'8", elite three-point shooter. Decommits from Indiana. The first inclination, because we talked about it at the time, it felt like he was probably going to end up at Kansas. Kansas was the number two choice. Johnny Furphy at that point was blowing up. It felt like he's going pro. They need somebody to replace him at that, you know, kind of that stretch four spot, three spot, whatever. Well, I bring it up because over time, it does not appear as though Kansas is any longer in the mix. Kansas obviously took AJ Store today. They're kind of set at that spot. And so this feels like a truly open recruitment, but it feels like a recruitment that is starting to come to an end. Liam McNeely has one official visit set up, although it's worth noting that he could visit other schools, and I quickly want to just break down and discuss his decision. So first of all, the one school that he is visiting, it is the two-time defending national champion UConn Huskies. And so if I had to handicap right now his recruitment and his decision, I do think UConn has to be considered the favorite because as of right now, at least as we started recording at 7 p.m. Eastern on Thursday night, they were the only school that is getting a visit from Liam McNeely. And so I think it makes a lot of sense on all fronts. One, Dan Hurley has very clearly over the last couple of years prioritized size, athleticism, but also the ability to put the ball in the basket. We've talked about it a million times, but Dan Hurley, after UConn lost in the 2022 NCAA tournament, they were a five seed. They lost to New Mexico State and Chris Jans. He kind of put himself in a bunker and said, listen, we can't keep trying to win every game in a rock fight 65-62. We need to prioritize offense. They went and got Tristan Newton that offseason. They got, Cam Spencer this past offseason, and the priority has been on offense. Well, Liam McNeely fits that bill. As I said, I think the stat is in AAU last summer, in games in which they track three-point shooting, I think he shot over 50% from three. So that is an insane stat. And the bottom line is with UConn, they need dudes right now, okay? Four of their five are projected to leave, and the fifth one just declared. So Tristan Newton is out of eligibility. Cam Spencer is out of eligibility. Donovan Klingon has already declared for the draft. Also, Steph Castle, freshman, stud, top 10 pick, has not declared yet, but we assume that he will. And then it was also worth noting that on Thursday afternoon, Alex Caravan, the fifth starter, announced that he is going to test the NBA draft waters. Now, I don't think he is going to leave college basketball. If we talked about it on Monday's show. At UConn's parade on Saturday afternoon, last Saturday, Alex Caravan was asked about his future. He said, look, I'm a year away from graduating. I would love to come back, put on this uniform, and go for a three-peat. And so I think Alex Caravan will probably go through the process, get some feedback, and end up back at Kentucky. Got all these schools mixed up in my brain here. Back at UConn for another season. But nothing's guaranteed. And even if he comes back, there are plenty of spots and plenty of available playing time at Kentucky. At UConn. I don't know why I keep doing that. At UConn. UConn fans, forgive me. I've been talking so much Kentucky and Mark Pope and this and that, whatever. So I just bring it up because there is so much playing time at UConn. Four starters are probably gone. A fifth starter is declared for the NBA draft. You look at who's coming back. Hassan Diarra hasn't officially announced. We assume he's back. Samson Johnson hasn't announced. We assume he's back. Terrace Reed, you just got a commitment from him. But outside of those guys, who else do you have? Ahmad Noel is a freshman, really good, but I don't know that he's a guy that you put in there for 28, 29, 30 minutes a game as a freshman. Same with Jalen Stewart, an emerging star. You need talent. You need guys that can put the ball in the basket, and Liam McNeely can do that. So UConn, to me, is the favorite and should be perceived as the favorite. But listen, I don't think it's a done deal. There are obviously It'll be interesting. You know, you see stuff, you don't know what's the truth, but the reports are that, you know, listen, I think NIL is going to be a factor. And, you know, Dan Hurley has been very vocal about NIL. We have NIL, we use NIL, but we always want to make sure our players are taken care of. But if it comes down to bidding wars, that's just not how we operate at the University of Connecticut. So I think Liam McNeely is probably, in my opinion, has to be deemed a UConn favorite, but there are other people coming. First of all, John Calipari was at Montverde just the last couple days to see Liam McNeely. The thought was, even as soon as Liam McNeely decommitted, he became a priority for John Calipari, even when John Calipari was at Kentucky. They had six freshmen coming in, and Calipari was like, I don't care. I want that kid. And so Calipari, you think that he would be in the mix? I also think, bluntly, I think that Kentucky with Mark Pope is going to be in the mix as well. We got the report that they had a Zoom meeting on Wednesday. We know that Mark Pope is on the road recruiting here on Thursday. And my guess is that it's going to be a priority for Mark Pope to try to land this kid. And I'd be curious if it ends up working out. One, you know, just talking to people in the recruiting world, I do think the brand of Kentucky means something to Liam McNeely. I think he understands the value of going to one of those big major programs, was committed to Indiana, almost committed to Kentucky. Obviously, UConn's in the mix. And so I think he kind of is intrigued by Kentucky. Again, I'll say what I said a minute ago with AJ Store. I don't think that anybody at this point is taking any phone calls if they're not serious about a given school. And so I bring it up because when I look at Liam McNeely, I think Mark Pope has a hell of a recruiting pitch, because just like UConn, just like Arkansas, there is plenty of playing time to be had at the University of Kentucky. And I think Liam McNeely fits the system. And I think especially now that Reed Shepherd is gone, I think that you can really sell like, hey, wait a second now. Wait a second now. You can come in and essentially be the face of this thing. Now, there's no, you know, we don't know what the Kentucky roster is going to look like under Mark Pope. But at the same time, you need a star. You need a freshman. You can kind of be that new era guy that kind of is like, hey, five stars still want to come to Kentucky post Calipari. And so it would be an interesting sales pitch for Mark Pope. You fit our system. You fit what we're trying to do. Obviously, at Kentucky, NIL is not an issue. As we said a minute ago, the day that Mark Pope was hired, $4 million was donated to the basketball collective. So money is not going to be an issue there. Do think Arkansas is going to have plenty to offer as well. Come here, be a star. This is the next NBA factory. You have a chance to do something special here. You have a chance to start something special here as well. And by the way, the one thing I'll say about Arkansas that I think has been undersold, and we talked about Eric Musselman. He proved you can come there as a McDonald's All-American and be a superstar. Anthony Black was a top 10 pick literally 1 year ago out of the state of Texas, by the way. Jordan Walsh was a draft pick out of the state of Texas. Those were McDonald's All-Americans. And so to me, those three have to be deemed the front runners. Now, there's been reports that Michigan is trying to get in the mix with the new coach, Dusty May. We'll see about him. I'm just not sold that he's going to be able to recruit at the level that he needs to. Like, I think if you're getting into a recruiting war with Dan Hurley and John Calipari and even Mark Pope in Kentucky, I think that's a tough one. I also think Nate Oates, there's been reports that Nate Oates and Alabama are trying to get into the mix as well. But to me, this feels like UConn's the leader. That is the only visit as of right now. Credit Mark Pope, he's fighting. Credit John Calipari. He is fighting in Arkansas. And we will see what happens from there. 58 minutes in. Have not taken a question yet. I haven't shut up. So I'm going to shut up. Let's get to some questions, producer Matt. Pull up a couple good ones and let's take some feedback from the audience. Casey, how amazing would Kobe Brea, Cade Tyson, and McNeely be at UK? Also, are you concerned for Arkansas's offense with Kenny Payne and Noah Welsh? Feel like Cal will try to revert back to his old ways? So those are two separate questions. Great questions, as always, from Casey. So from Kentucky's perspective, Brea, for people who don't know. But by the way, Brea and Cade Tyson were two of the best three-point shooters in college basketball this year. Kobe Brea was literally the best three-point shooter, 49.8%, I believe. Cade Tyson was in like the 47% range. And Leah McNeely, listen, I mean, how amazing would it be? It wouldn't be hyperbole to say this. Casey's asking about Kobe Brea, Cade Tyson, and Leah McNeely. It isn't hyperbole to say that would be one of the greatest three-point shooting teams in the history of college basketball, potentially. They would probably take nothing but three. You think Nate Oates likes to shoot threes? That team would probably shoot nothing but threes, and they would hit an insane percentage. Do I think all three are realistic? Listen, I think it's an uphill battle with UConn and McNeely. But again, if it becomes an NIL bidding war, Dan Hurley, at least to this point, has shown no interest in doing that. So if that's the case, does Mark Pope, is he able to drop a bigger bag? Kobe Brea, I've heard it's a UConn lean early. He's from New York. But again, you know, fifth-year guy, probably not playing in the NBA. Realistically, you're probably looking at a guy that, that is going to be looking for a bag when he comes out of college basketball. Now, with the Arkansas side of things, by the way, it's amazing. Every time I talk Arkansas, Kentucky fans get mad. Oh, stop talking about Arkansas. Get all they do is ask about him. And I'm not criticizing you, Casey. I'm just saying the reality. So Casey asked a very good question on Arkansas as well. So Kenny Payne, as I said, is known as kind of a big man guru. But it's kind of that traditional, old school, back to the basket kind of big man. And so what Casey's trying to ask is, will the Arkansas offense struggle if they go to the more traditional back to the basket center? And will Cal go back to his old ways? Remember, John Welsh, who was kind of the offensive guru at Kentucky this past year, is not coming with Calipari to Arkansas. You know, listen, I think it's too early to say. I will say, though, is that if you're bringing Big Z, I have to assume that you are going to run some version of the offense that you ran previously at Kentucky this past year. Big Z is not a dump it into the post, Patrick Ewing, 1984, you know, Hakeem Olajuwon dream shake. So I hope for Arkansas's sake that Calipari doesn't go back to all his old ways. I thought the offense was new age and it worked this year. Great question by Casey. We'll see what happens there. Let's keep the questions going. Drop your questions in. Keep them appropriate. What would UConn's starting lineup be with Liam McNeely? Ball, Noel, and Liam, and who else? I got criticized because I said it's just hard to know on UConn. I think Alex Karaman is coming back. I think Hassan Diarra is coming back. I don't really know. I do, listen, one thing that UConn fans and I have disagreed on, I have to think that Samson Johnson is going to be the priority at the five. Should he be? I don't know. But he came back this year. He could have gone in the portal last year. He could have gone in the portal this year. I don't think that he's coming back to be a backup again. I could be totally wrong, but I don't know if I am. And so to me, I think Samson Johnson, because of the seniority, gets priority. But Samson Johnson's probably a guy who's best as a backup big. Hassan Diarra is probably best as a sixth man. And so does Hassan Diarra, if he comes back, gets to start over Ahmad Noel. And Ahmad Noel's kind of that sixth man, probably. I think Solo Ball will be a starter. I think Jalen Stewart will be a starter. I think Alex Karaban will be a starter. Let me predict this. If Liam McNeely comes, I think Karaban's at the four. McNeely's kind of a three-ish type guy. Solo Ball probably at the two. Jalen Stewart, maybe you try to play all three. And then does Hassan Diarra become the starter? I don't know. Is Hassan Diarra even coming back? He said he'd announce by the end of this week. Maybe he announced during the show and I missed it. But that's a tough question. And I think Terrace Reed, I do think by the end of the season, it's going to be hard not to be starting that guy. So I feel like if Liam McNeely goes, you're going to have a starting lineup of eventually Terrace Reed, Alex Karaban, McNeely, Solo Ball, and then the point guard spot is interesting. Do you go with the freshman Ahmad Noel? Do you go with the fifth-year senior Hassan Diarra? Great question from the Sports Film and Fellowship. Jacob, is UConn in on Boogie or Wagner at all? So I did a standalone segment on UConn on DJ Wagner the other day. I think UConn should be. I believe DJ Wagner's still an NBA player. Just because he didn't make a lot of threes this year, just because he struggled this year, a lot of freshmen struggle in college basketball without the weight on their shoulders. And I still think, by the way, DJ Wagner, I still think, gets a totally raw deal in this whole deal. Like, even today, when Reed Shepard declared, what did I see? Oh, well, I mean, this will be remembered forever as the season that John Calipari started DJ Wagner over Reed Shepard and Rob Dillingham. They finished second in the SEC. You know, you go through and you look at the stats, like Reed Shepard played more than DJ Wagner. Like, can we chill out? Who cares about who starts? It's about who finishes. And you look at the stats from this year. Rob Dillingham played 23 minutes. Reed Shepard played 29. DJ Wagner played 24. So basically, Rob Dillingham played starters minutes. But I still believe in DJ Wagner. It doesn't feel like guards are a priority for Dan Hurley this offseason. Whether they should be or not, I don't know. I will trust Dan Hurley on all things roster matters. And then the second one was Boogie Fland. It doesn't appear as though right now that Boogie Fland is a priority. We mentioned him earlier with Louisville. I've seen a little St. John's stuff. It'll be interesting. I'll tell you this. If Orlando Antigua ends up staying at Kentucky, does Boogie Fland stay loyal to Kentucky? But does Mark Pope want him at Kentucky? So I don't know. For people who missed it, by the way, Orlando Antigua, the lead assistant under Calipari for years, there's been some reports today that I don't think his wife is too keen on leaving Lexington, and that he may stick around Lexington and end up staying as an assistant coach. We will see what happens with that. Let's keep it going. I think I have some. Man, I messed up all sorts of things today. Don't have any water. Does Louisville have a legit shot at Jaden Q? Listen, I am not close by any means to his recruitment. What I keep saying about Jaden Quaintance, though, is that I don't think that anybody is taking any visits at this time of year if they aren't seriously considering a school. Again, you got to enroll the end of next month. About a month from now, that's when kids start showing up for summer school. Remember, summer school usually starts right around Memorial Day. That's kind of move-in time, maybe early June. Like, you don't got another 6 months to figure this thing out. And so I don't think you're taking a visit if you're not considering it. If I had to take a guess, I believe that Arkansas should still be considered the favorite because of the relationship with John Calipari, but it's clear that him and the family are considering other options. So does Louisville have a shot? Yeah, I think they got a shot. Of course they have a shot. I don't think you're taking a visit at this time of the year if you're not seriously considering it. Jaden Quaintance, again, the five-star McDonald's All-American, was committed to Kentucky, decommitted when John Calipari left. We'll see what happens from couple more. We'll get out of here on a Thursday night. What a day. I wasn't even going to go live today. Look at me now. Got 3,000 people watching this bad boy. By the way, people tell me college basketball is dead. Whew. Come check out the chat on a Thursday night and tell me that nobody cares about college basketball. April has become such an important month. Jeremy Roach. So somebody asked about Jeremy Roach. JJ and Pawpaw at 2020 say, what about Jeremy Roach? What I will say is you're hearing all sorts of things. Obviously, look, I saw the initial Adam Zagoria report. Adam Zagoria, a New York City-based writer, great guy, got a chance to meet him actually when I was at the Kansas-UConn game, first time at Fog Allen Fieldhouse. He mentioned right off the top that he thought St. John's, Duke, and Arkansas would be in the mix. What I think is obvious to me is that Jeremy Roach is going to go to the highest bidder. It's worth noting, by the way, Jeff Goodman, I believe, just put out that Baylor has emerged as a favorite. I had heard that as well over the course of the day. I don't have a timeline on that. I don't know if it will become official. Maybe by the time you guys and girls listen to this show, maybe it is a done deal. But Jeff Goodman, a little over an hour ago, put out that he believes that Baylor has emerged as the front runner to land Jeremy Roach. I'll be honest, that's what I kind of heard through the grapevine today as well. But I think what's obvious about Jeremy Roach, fifth-year guy, probably not an NBA player. I hate this sounds like it's a negative, but it really isn't. I think you have to assume that he's going to the highest bidder. He's just saying, look, I got one more year of college basketball. I'm probably not going to be an NBA player. If I have a chance to make seven figures somewhere, then I have to take advantage of that opportunity. But the one thing I would also say, what have we talked about with Jeremy Roach and with all these guys, whether it's Arkansas with the John Tyson money and now the Jerry Jones money, if it's St. John's with the Mike Rapoli money, the vitamin water guy. By the way, talk about college hoops in 2024. We know all the boosters' biggest names. The sport has changed, my friends. The sport has changed. But like Mike Rapoli is the vitamin water billionaire that we've talked about on this show. And he has said, I will give Rick Pitino whatever he needs. So if that is a priority guy for Rick Pitino and they need however much to close the deal, then they'll make sure that it gets taken care of. Arkansas, same. Kentucky, the same. I think he's the best player left in the portal. Excuse me, my nose is a little bit stuffy. It must be allergies. But I think he's the best player left in the portal. I had kind of heard Baylor throughout the day. But I think he's going to go the highest bidder. And the one thing I will say, if it is a highest bidder situation, things can change very quickly. I've seen it a million times. Kid enters the portal, thinks he knows where he's going, thinks he knows the spot. A school thinks, hey, we have this money put aside for him. Then you kind of get wind. Hey, he can be had for this much money or that much money or this much money or that much money. And all of a sudden things change really quick. That might be it. Probably get out of here on another question or two. We got to get some of these clips up tonight. Busy night. I'll tell you this. Pop up anything else you see, Producer Matt. But guys, incredible audience here for a Thursday night. Incredible audience here for College Hoops. Couple things before we get out of here. One, I mentioned off the top. We are about to set records this month. Like, not about to. We have set records. Can't do it without your support. If you or anyone in the advertising space, you want to be a part of a show that's probably going to reach a million people this month, a million people, seven figures, like a good NIL deal, seven figures, have them reach out to me, Aaron Torres, podcastquestions@gmail.com. We are looking for advertisers. And I do think bluntly, we bring a lot of value to your company. We worked with BetUS in March Madness. My guess is that we are going to be back with them in football season. And I hate to brag, but they kind of rave like, dude, Torres, you were awesome to work with. You work directly with me. We can work and, you know, figure out what's best for you and your company. So make sure to reach out, Aaron Torres, podcastquestions@gmail.com. If you're interested in advertising on this show. But I think that's it. Any word on where Mark Mitchell ends up? Okay. So Anthony Easton asked about Mark Mitchell, the other Duke guy in the portal, former McDonald's All-American, 11 points per game. Can't really shoot. He's from Kansas City, Kansas, I believe, originally. I had been told early on that Kansas State was probably a front runner in his services. But again, you know, this stuff changes quickly and daily. So I had been told Kansas State was probably a front runner. Again, you know, he's a unique player because he's super athletic. If he could shoot 38%, he'd be he'd be in the NBA right now. He can't. And I think that's the next step for him. But you average 12 a game at Duke, 11 and a half, 12 per game at Duke. You can play anywhere in college basketball. I would expect him to go somewhere in the Midwest at some point. Producer Matt, one last call for questions before we get out of here. All right. Tell you what, I think that's going to be it for tonight's show. We are at an hour 12. Another great show. Another great show. Cannot do it without your support. If you're not subscribed to the Aaron Torres Sports Podcast, please make sure to do so. If you're not subscribed on YouTube, click the likes. By the way, I should mention as well, for you football fans, we do a ton of college football as well. So like, we'll probably be talking draft next week. We'll make sure to balance a little bit of football in here as we slowly transition out of portal season. But I still think between Kentucky filling a roster, Arkansas filling a roster, we have a lot of basketball. There's still a lot of meat on the basketball bone. But we'll be talking some other stuff, specifically college football, NFL draft. So stay tuned for that in the coming weeks as well. But if you're not subscribed to the show, please make sure to do so. Click subscribe on YouTube. Make sure to put on the alerts. Also, if you're not subscribed on Apple or Spotify, we've had a great month on podcast. By the way, even if you listen on YouTube, you want to do me a favor, subscribe, Apple, Spotify, maybe automatically download shows. Help your boy Torres out. Apple, Spotify, Amazon Music, Google Music, wherever you listen to the show. Make sure you're following on social media at @Aaron_Torres on Twitter. We have all the Torres accounts. So Torres on UConn, Torres on UK, Torres on whatever. Just check the Instagram account. My dad is sending me videos on what to do if your dog is choking. So shout out to my dad because he very clearly is a huge sports fan who very much cares about what is going on in the world of sports. But if you're not subscribed to the show, please make sure to do so. Apple, Spotify, Amazon Music, Google Music, social media, @Aaron_Torres, Aaron Torres Pod on Instagram, Aaron Torres Pod on TikTok. Hate to brag, we've been going a little bit viral on TikTok over these last couple weeks. No big deal, just what Torres does. I'm going to get out of here. We are going to have plenty more updates. Looking at the comments section right now, somebody said, since 2020, teams led by John Calipari and Jerry Jones are a combined 3-10 in the postseason. Anyway, we'll get out of here. We'll have plenty more portal notes. Kenneth Anthony says, more portal notes, please. I'm doing everything that I can. We will get out of here. We'll be back on Sunday night, live show Sunday. I'm sure there will be something to react to. My guess is somebody will have picked up a commitment somewhere along the way. So if you're not subscribed, make sure to do so. Turn on the notifications on YouTube. The show, insane numbers this month. Cannot thank you all enough for your support. We'll be back Sunday night, 7 or so Eastern time. Appreciate your support. We will chat then.